There's a breakout. Like the miners in a bull market, gold's in a bull market, silver's in a bull market. I'm just telling people that the greatest gains in the shortest amount of time will happen after gold breaks out versus SPX. It's just, you'll just get more pop, more bang for your buck after that happens. But it doesn't mean you can't make, you know, the prices won't, can't go up right now nominally, but these, the crazy moves for the miners here, like in the faster and shorter amount of time moves, they'll happen, you know, they could start happening here, right, as gold breaks out versus SPX.
Patrick Karam, North Star and Bad Charts, how are you, my friend?
Hi, Andy. I'm doing great. Always fun there catching up with you.
Yeah, the pleasure is all mine, and I'm beginning to consider you a friend. I mean that. We have never met in person. It's always been over Zoom, but two things that stand out about you is number one, your graciousness to all my viewers and listeners. Patrick is as gracious on camera as he is off with his time and just the way he treats people. So I'm very grateful for that. And number two is you've had some great calls and you're also very humble. You don't like to tout your horn, but the last, I want to say, well, it's been since I started talking to you about a year ago, but really to highlight in the last couple weeks, well, since the beginning of the year, the new year, you've had some great calls. So let's specifically talk about gold, silver, and the broader equities market. And you've been putting out a lot of content about that. Let's start with gold. What is going on with gold? We've had this huge run. And what are you projecting forward? Give me the 30,000 foot view and then we'll narrow down.
All right. Yes. Yeah, it's like, yeah, gold's been on a tear. The silent assassin, no big fanfare, I guess. Like, you know, my father's not talking to me about it, but it's just been in a solid uptrend. Let's put a chart up because I know your viewers will going to love to see a chart. I'll just put up the gold chart super fast. XAU USD. So yeah, this is the gold chart. I'm going to put my classic layout. So look at that thing. Goodness gracious, right? It's just been in an uptrend since we had the breakout back here. So you had this consolidation here, try to break out. The price went back below that breakout line, but it's more like a zone. And then after that, bam, it just took off. Look, you can just keep it simple, guys. Above an inclining 12-month moving average and your uptrend. And you'll see these. You see here, we had that run, that crazy, crazy breakout back in June of 2019. Same thing. Above, coiled and tight. Low risk entries, coiled and tight. This is important because it's always somebody, let's say somebody's new on the sidelines, they're starting to be aware of purchasing power destruction and they find your YouTube channel. And then they say, oh my goodness, I'm in stocks or whatever, or they're on the sideline and gold's, you know, I hear that gold could protect me. It's a safe haven. You hear that often. I'm not a big fan of that word because I have a hard time, you know, how do you quantify or qualify that a safe haven? Like, what are we talking about here? So I just look at the charts. If you're coiled and tight, close to the moving averages, guys, it's a low risk entry point, especially if it's trying to break out above previous swing highs here. And then after that, above these moving averages. So it's just mathematical. If the price is starting to move up and stay above a moving average, eventually that moving average will start inclining. And as long as it stays above it, you're in an uptrend. And look at that. You had a beautiful run all the way up here. And then when you close below that 12-month moving average, guys, that's that little blue line, then the trend's over. That trend, as defined by that angle of that 12-month moving average, is done. And then it goes sideways, sideways, sideways. And after that, oh, look, it coiled, explode. And look at that. You're above an inclined 12-month moving average. Can even go back all the way here to the 2000s. It was trending nicely here above that 12-month moving average practically the whole time until we hit GFC. And after that GFC, it did a retest of that longer-term three-year moving average, which never even got tested once, well, just once during that whole bull run. And it's repeating once again, you know? So there's no, it's an uptrend. It's in a bull market, no questions about it. But here's the but. If you're on the sidelines and you look at that, said, should I enter? Well, look at the bottom. That bottom pane here, guys, is the distance from that three-year moving average. And I'll put a a vertical line, a horizontal line here. Let me put it dashed. Look at that. Look how stretched we are, Andy, from that 36-month moving average. So that's a distance for the price between the red line and the price. Man, we're stretched. So it's just like building up pressure, right? You're stretched. Your people, they say like an X like number of the standard deviations away. You're stretched. So this is not a low risk entry. The low risk entry, like we just mentioned, are these right down here, guys. They're here. And look, if I put a vertical line right there, look where the moving average, what it was doing, the distance from the moving average, guys, back here. It was just starting to move up, expanding away. The money was starting to go in and more and more and more. You're distancing yourself from the moving average. That's beautiful. That's what you want in the bull market. You want to explode away so the dips are more shallow. There's your emotional capital doesn't get eroded because you eight days out of 10, you'll have up days. The down days aren't, you know, they get bought up. That's like, it's beautiful, right? You want to ride these explosions upwards, but I don't, what do I tell you guys? The explosion upwards is done. We did it, right? The explosion upwards, we had it back here. I'm going to put another vertical line here so you guys get to see it. Look, it's that breakout here. So if you're in the trade, it's fine. You're above inclined 12-month moving average. If ever that thing, I'll put a rising trend line here. As long, maybe that thing's going to keep, let me put a squiggly line here to show you guys. Maybe it just keeps going up and up and up and up and up. Like, you don't know, right? You're fine. You're in the trade. You're there. But if you're on the sideline and you miss that entry back here, I wouldn't touch gold. It just doesn't make sense. Even if I go in gold now and it goes up 10%, it goes up to 3,300. It still didn't make it the proper lowest entry, right? The lowest entries, guys, you got to admit it, they don't come back very often. There's one here in 2019, another one here in 2023. Here in the 2000s, it was like, you know, it was all the way down here, the really lowest entry. Sometimes what you get is you get these consolidations here where the price of gold goes up sideways, lets that three-year moving average catch up. Then you get another shot of glory. Then you get another rally up. But you have to at least wait for the moving average to catch up before you jump back in, right? So there's no lowest entry. It's in a bull market. And you don't know. Look at it, all of these peaks. I don't want to scare people who are in there, but look, if I put it here, it doesn't mean it's the end of the bull market. But here, see gold, as soon as it's lost its rising momentum, it peaked, went sideways for a year. What is that, 2 years? 2006 all the way to 2007. Yeah, it went sideways for a little over a year. Right here, well, that's the GFC. So it went sideways from 2008 all the way to 2009. So almost a year. And this one, finally, that one, it was the actual top. It went sideways. But then after that, because after a few of these, the more and more you have of these, like stretch and consolidation and explosion again, eventually one of these will be the last one, right? So here you had one stretch, twice stretch. And the third one, that was the last one. Now we've had one, a nice reset. Here we had another explosion, but it's not, there's no low risk entry. So uptrend, if you're a trend rider, you could ride it. But if you look from a classical TA perspective, even look log measure moves, all these targets have been reached, Andy, you know? So there's nothing to do here with gold other than just if you bought low at the breakout, you ride it. But if you're on the sidelines, there's nothing to do from a trader's perspective. You have to wait for a consolidation. You have to wait for a sideways move. You have to wait for something. Because let's say you do jump in here as a trader, not as a stacker, right? Stackers, they don't care. They buy anytime. But let's say you do enter here and then it does start. Let's say it does go up a little bit. I'll draw you a... my little squiggly lines. Let's say it does go up a little bit, but because you're stretched from the moving average, statistically, you have more probabilities of that thing eventually going sideways or down, and it does go down. And then it starts doing its consolidation. Two things are happening here. You could either get triggered out, right? You bought here, it doesn't go up that fast, and then after that thing goes down, and you say, oh my goodness, it's over, like the bull market's over, then you get triggered out. Or if you don't get triggered out, you could be in an opportunity cost area where the price just goes sideways. It lets that three-year moving average catch up. here, that or written that red line. Put that, make that pretty. Where's my, can't see it.
Yep.
And it just goes sideways, letting that moving average catch up. And then for a year or two, you're in gold. But there could have probably been other asset classes outperforming while that happens. So you gotta, you know, I know people love drawing these hockey shapes. When the price goes up, they draw it like this, right? And they say that it's going up forever. But those type of moves, they happen late in an end game move. And gold has not even broken out, or it's starting to break out versus SPX. I could show you that chart. That's probably going to be an important one.
Yeah, if you could. If you would, real quick, though, on that chart you just said, you're looking at the bottom chart, the moving averages. And again, I like that you pointed out, you're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 tops just right there. And every single time it either corrected or it's gone sideways. So just to my viewers and listeners, really, that's I don't want to say a warning, but that's a warning. Yeah. So just being overbought is significantly overbought. It doesn't mean we're bearish on gold. It doesn't mean gold can't go up. But as you've stated in many videos before that I've done with you, is just really beware. Here's a warning. We're just not getting the best entry for looking at to trade this.
Yeah, you know, it's being objective. And people always think it's binary. Patrick, are you bearish or bullish? No, you're bullish when you have these breakouts here. But then you're bullish. But once you get stretched, it doesn't mean you're bearish and you're short. No, it just means you could go neutral, right? It's like stages. There's four stages. It's not up and down, right? It's up, the flat line. That flat line, that consolidation here could eventually resolve upwards. So that's a bullish neutral bias. If it breaks up, then you become bullish again. But if that bullish looking consolidation does not materialize upwards, then you're in a 2013 type of top. And then that was at one stage that people could have drawn it like this. Let's say I'm hiding everything. I'm just going to draw it like that there. Look at that. Let's say you don't know. We're back here. I zoom you. Let's say we're doing an interview back in October of 2012, Andy. The charts here, you know, it's hard to tell to tell people. Look here, even you lost momentum here. Stretch, lost momentum. I'm still letting that moving average catch up. There's no, there's nothing yet. Maybe here a little bit starting to move upwards. But the momentum has not re-accelerated higher, right? And yeah, you need to wait for you need the momentum to stop its downwards momentum breakout. So that probably looked like a bullish consolidation that ultimately failed, right? So you got to... You never front run a possible consolidation. So right now, gold is practically, it's in these areas now where we haven't even started the consolidation, right? Eventually, there'll be a consolidation that will start. And even then, when that consolidation starts, you don't know how long it's going to last. And you just got to wait it out. So that's the message I'm trying to tell people, that gold's in a bull market, but you can't just jump in at any moment and hope everything's going to be all right. You got to look at the distance from moving average, like you said, the mean, reversion to mean, all that statistical stuff. And you got to accept that you missed the lowest entry, right?
Yep. About that also, it was about a year ago when we started talking, and you actually, that was when you were, if my viewers and listeners go back to that interview, you were like, hey, looks great. More or less, it looks like we're going to have a breakout here. All of the technical indicators were saying so. So I say that to you just because I think you're extremely objective here. So just again, to all my viewers, just take this as, you know, not the gospel, but just take this as a warning. So you were going to show me a chart between gold and the S&P. Let's see that. And then let's talk about silver.
This is why it's important. The gold versus SPX, essentially what that's telling you guys, it's capital flows, right? So if ever somebody sees that your gold to SPX or a ratio chart, something other like you're measuring gold in SPX shares, or it could have been SPX measured in gold shares and ounces. this chart, it's telling you where are the capital flows favoring, right? Both instruments could be going up at the same time or down or a match of both, but where is the capital flows are going? And you see that the bull, so gold's in a bull market, and this is another definition I'm trying to talk about. Gold's in a bull market, it's going up on its own price chart. But for gold to be in a bull era, it needs to be outperforming SPX. And you'll see here back in the 2000s, gold, if you guys, of course, you've memorized that gold chart, it started having its crazy run back in 2001, 2002. But look what it was doing also versus SPX. It was breaking out and starting to trend upwards versus SPX. So that whole region here, gold was going up on its own price chart, but also totally destroying SPX, totally outperforming SPX. Mm-hmm. So while the SPX had a great run, right? It had a great run. So it went down in the 2000s, went down to the bear market lows. But after that, SPX ran up, right? Practically back to all-time highs. I'll show you guys.
Yeah, please.
SPX, new price scale. Here's what SPX did during that run. I'm going to put that on log. So here, guys, this is SPX. So gold's breaking out versus SPX. SPX is going down, 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 down. XPX has a crazy rally, right? From the 2003 lows all the way to 2000, went up here. But by the time it matched its highs of the 2000s, look what gold did versus SPX. It went all the way down here, higher low, higher high, higher high, even higher high while all that was happening. So gold's in an uptrend versus SPX. So even if SPX is going up, it's still better to, would it still been better to hold gold over that long period of time? And once SPX finally gets out of its huge sideways grind, 10 years grind. Look at that. As soon as SPX starts breaking out, look what happens to gold. Gold breaks down versus SPX, and that's the end of the bull era. So let's bring it today. Let's bring it, what's happening today. Gold still is still not in the bona fide uptrend. It's starting to, sitting some resistance here. It's above. Wow. The moving averages here, it's starting to do good, right? It's above those inclining moving averages. Those moving averages will start probably expanding here, the distance from SMA. It's, you see, low risk opportunity. They're happening here, right? Remember from that gold chart? You don't wait until you're stretched here, right? When you're stretched that far from the 3-year moving average, it's getting top-ish. You're at risk of severe consolidation. So now gold is looking really, really like, it's getting ready there to start a new uptrend versus SPX. But there's only one thing missing now. SPX needs to fall apart. It needs to have multiple recessions. It has to, it's getting close, SPX, to starting to lose some rising trend lines. That's the missing piece right now, is SPX just falling apart, where it corrects 5, 10%, but the aggregate of market participants think, hold on, that's not just going to be a 5 or 10% correction that's going to go back up. It's a 5 or 10% correction that's going to cascade into a 30% correction. That's going to cascade into a, whatever, 45% correction over 1 year, 2 years. So that's what's missing for gold to enter a bull era. And every single time gold goes in a bull era, where no matter what's happening to its price chart, whether it's pegged, unpegged, whether it's at the end of a bear market, or whether it's in its own bull market, whenever the gold to SPX ratio goes upwards, gold always appreciates. So it's mostly that ratio going up because gold's going up, but also because the stock markets are taking severe hits. The governments have to do bailouts. They have to create debt, the stimulus, all that stuff there. Debt accelerations is what gold tracks. The faster the debt accumulates, these explosions in debts, gold saying, oh my goodness, they're destroying the purchasing power. And then bam, off it goes. So it's, see, gold stretch, SPX is also stretched. Okay, let's do this. I know we could cover, we'll go back to commodities, but it's important to look at the SPX, because that's what's going to really tell us if gold goes in a bull era. Because if gold goes in a bull era, that's when silver has a chance of doubling and doubling again. That's when everything goes bonkers. That's when oil goes whatever to up to $200. You get these crazy targets, right? $8 copper. So here's the distance from moving average. The same thing, it's objective and unbiased. The same exercise we did for gold, any instrument, you could do it for SPX. Here's SPX, I'll stretch a little bit. So we got this stretch from its three moving average SPX from the monthly chart. Oh, God, 20. Yeah. So we were pretty stretched. This one here, this crazy one was the 1929 market crash there. This one here. So whenever you're stretched that much, here's the dot-com bubble right here, stretch, and then after that rolls over. So that's how stretched we are. But it's not just the fact that we're stretched, Andy. It's your stretch, but after that, you can't get stretched anymore where you lose rising trend lines, right? Stretch, can't maintain that distance away. And then you're starting to stumble on your own feet, running out of gas. And look, the momentum is falling apart for the SPX. It's falling apart. So right now, on the distance for moving average, you have a lower high. Here on the price, you have a higher high. That's negative or bearish divergence, whatever you want to call it. The only thing missing is, look, how many days are left in the month? It's in survival mode right now.
Yeah, it looks like it broke it.
It broke that rising trend line, but it still hasn't closed below the 12-month moving average, because I'll show you this. Yep. It needs to, I'm putting the US indicators, recession indicator overlaid. You need a close. Okay, I'll zoom in for you guys here. It's the close below the 12-month moving average that really spooks, and then you get a recession right after, right? Not every single close below the 12-month moving average leads to a recession, but if you have a close below the 12-month moving average and you're starting to lose rising trend lines, in conjunction with gold on its own on the gold to SPX chart, that thing's starting to break out, then you got a problem on your hands. Here, I'll show you here. Here's in the 2007. Here was try to survive. See these wicks, the price during the month, it was below that 12-month average, but the buyers came in. There's still a little bit of buying pressure. And eventually that one closed right below 12-month average. And after that, that's closed below that one. You lost momentum. Gold was breaking out versus SPX at that moment. And that's, it just vomited, right? So we're back here. Gold to SPX is like starting to trend upwards. It's breaking out of the descending trend lines. It's not fully in the new uptrend, but it's getting real close to that. And look what the SPX is doing. Lost momentum on the monthly chart and lost a rising trend line. And as soon as it closes below that 12-month moving average, I don't know. I think it's going to survive the month there. But if ever, look, during the month, it was really bad there. Like right before this bottom and rally we've had in the past week or so there, it was like all the way down here. So imagine, it's not looking great for the SPX. For the SPX to, you know, to go back and flourish into a new bull market, I would probably need, you know, to see that the price go sideways, grind a little bit, let that three-year moving average catch up, and then eventually, you know, have a breakout, just like it did here, you know, huge correction. So while everybody might think that this rally is the one that's going to go crazy to the moon, while you might nominally do a higher high, it's possible, the momentum still looks terrible. It's unwinding. You don't have as much up pressure. So combine that. That's the SPX portion. Now you have gold still going upwards, but probably stalling. But the gold to SPX ratio trying to go upwards, as soon as SPX tanks, as long as gold holds its ground or doesn't go down as much as SPX, the gold to SPX ratio is going to rocket upwards, breakout. And that's a precious metals bull era. That's how you define it.
Yeah, I think I had another question, but I think you already answered it. So you think, like, and I guess the ratio is really, really key. You don't really need gold to go up. You just need the ratio to close to really have a really strong bull market, because money would flow into gold. That's your thesis, correct?
Yes. It will flow more. So when you have a ratio chart, they will flow more into precious metals, because I'll show you why it's important. So I'll put XAU, gold divided by SPX. I'll just show you that chart. I'll remove all the drawings, remove all the indicators, reset the chart view. I'll just zoom out. This chart from the 1913, let's say I overlay, I don't know, silver price, new pain. Fog here. You'll see that the ebbs and flow of the, that's a gold to SPX, this is silver. Look how silver tracks the capital flows going into gold, outperforming SPX. Here, same thing, the 2000s. So that ratio going up has a high correlation with silver. This gold was pegged here. So here was, as SPX was going up, it couldn't hold its ground, but silver did still do well prior to the unpeg. So if gold breaks out here in a new uptrend, then it favors silver price and fiat to go up. I could even overlay the miners.
Yeah.
New price scale. Where are my super duper miners? Log scale. I'm going to hide. So here, same thing for the miners. Look at that. Look at the miners, how they track the gold to SPX ratio almost to perfection in the 70s. You see this, guys? It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
The ebbs and flows, the trend, not the a correlation, you know, like tit for tat, but look at the, so the miners, they don't track the gold price. They track the SPX adjusted gold price, the trend of it. You know, they have different CEOs, they have different ounces in the ground. Like, they don't care. Like, that's why people say, oh, the gold price at whatever. And how come the miners aren't as much? Well, you need to adjust the miners for something, right? For capital flows, you could adjust the better miners. They track gold adjusted for inflation. And the very, very, very best miners, some of them just track gold practically to a T there. There's some, you know, that are doing all-time highs in the miners. It's a wide range. But the bulk of them, they will get less headwinds and more tailwinds once that this one here, this chart here, starts going bonkers up, like it starts trending. Once it starts trending upwards, the gold to SPX ratio, the miners are just going to get so much tailwinds, you won't even believe it there. It's just going to be like you'll be choosing anything and it'll be going up, you know. So that's why it's important to be in a bull era. It doesn't mean people, they say, oh, Patrick, I can't be on the sidelines waiting for this bull era. You don't have to. The miners are in a bull market now. It's like, look, the bulk of them, look at that. There's a breakout. Like, the miners are in a bull market. Gold's in a bull market. Silver's in a bull market. I'm just telling people that the greatest gains in the shortest amount of time will happen after gold breaks out versus SPX. You'll just get more pop, more bang for your buck after that happens. But it doesn't mean you can't make, you know, the prices can't go up right now nominally, but the crazy moves for the miners here, like in the faster and shorter amount of time moves, they'll happen, you know, they could start happening here, right, as gold breaks out versus SPX.
Yeah. So you had a great call. This was it was last fall or last November, I want to say. And you were making a call that silver had to break out and the miners had to break out. This was 25 was, I paraphrase, but 25 was going to be their year and they were looking like a breakout. And that's exactly what they did. So I guess my comment to you is you see that as a continuation and you really see silver really following the gold and SPX ratio. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I'll show you an even better chart, XAU-USD. So gold adjusted for inflation, CPI. Goodness. Here's my mouse. CPIA. So here's gold adjusted for inflation. I'm going to put that on a candle chart. I'll put on the yearly chart. Move that. I'll put silver reset chart. Okay, here it is. So this one here is the gold versus adjusted for inflation. And here is, where's my silver chart? Silver chart, I put candles also. Styles, candles, hollow candles, here it is. So here's my silver chart. Look at that. When I overlay gold adjusted for inflation.
Look at that.
It's practically the same. So silver.
Almost.
It's. The gold versus SPX is a good gateway. Like, you know, you're measuring gold against the 500 top companies in the US. It's a hard adjuster for gold, for silver price. Silver is more performant than gold versus SPX. And we'll track those capital flows, but it doesn't, you don't need to adjust gold for such a hard, severe deflator, right? Because SPX, you know, a lot of money goes in the growth speculative. So it really brings down that gold silver ratio, not coming down, but just adjusting gold for inflation. So, you know, it's not as violent as adjusting it for the SPX. Look at that. On a yearly close basis, they're practically the same chart. So if you forget these wicks, these blow off top wicks, you know, people say, adjusted for inflation, like this is the 1980 top, the 2011 top. It's practically the same level they both reach, each on their own chart, adjusted for inflation, the gold one and silver. Here, silver a little bit underperforming, couldn't quite tag its breakout line. Maybe it's a little wall here. It's a zone. But look at that. As gold last year had a confirmed breakout versus inflation, silver did not have a confirmed breakout versus inflation last year, but look what it's doing. It's still following it, you know. It's a yearly chart, Andy, so of course it's gonna you could be off by a year or two and people complain that it's not following it. But if you take a zoom back, it's virtually identical.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. Interesting. What would you tell the viewers and listeners here, just what would you leave them with? What do they need to be aware of? Again, I'm going to guess it's just wait for low risk entry. And we're just really, really stretched on the gold market. And it looks like the S&P is rolling over. Is that what you would say? Or just tell me what would you leave them with?
That's right. There's no low risk entries for the SPX. There's no low risk entry for gold. Silver's, it's better. I could just mention, guys, that silver's crazy runs, right? The runs that silver does that sells newsletters, like, you know, that silver is going to be go to 100 or 1,000. Those runs start after gold versus SPX breaks out, after the markets enter a 1 or 2 year bear market, and after the markets bottom and start going up. As soon, silver is like a recovery metal. So as soon as the markets, they top and they roll over, they lose 10, 15, 20, whatever, 50%. As soon as the markets start going back up, that's when the gold to silver ratio starts plummeting. That's when silver starts outperforming gold, it starts outperforming SPX, silver is going to start outperforming practically anything. And that's when silver has historically done its 100% move, 200% move, 500% moves. They all happen after the market's bottom. So right now, if you think the markets are rolling over, and they start tumbling into a bear market, even if silver still manages to go up now, you know, it goes up, I don't know, to $40, whatever it is, that 10 or 20% gain it's doing now is nothing compared to the clickbait targets that I could mention, right? So silver, let's say, goes up to 40. After that, we get a bear market in SPX. It brings silver back down to 30, whatever, retest previous resistance support. Then after that, 30 to 60, 60 to 120, goodness, I could say 120 to 240, they'll happen after that. They will not, the chances are of silver going to 100 or above 50 right now before the markets roll over are very low. They're just low there, you know? But those crazy targets, they'll happen after. So yeah, people, you could buy silver now, it's an uptrend and all that, but the true tailwinds, nobody's late. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You could buy silver higher at a higher price point, but there will still be a lower risk entry because you'll be entering somewhere where it has less chances of going down and more chances of doubling and then doubling again, you know?
Yeah, I was going to exactly use that. You took the words out of my mouth. It's still early in the game, guys, very, very early. So as I couldn't agree more, Patrick. So Patrick, you need no exit or intro. People know you because of your reputation, but I'd love people that new viewers that if they want more information about you or want to know more about your work, how do they find you?
Batcharts One on X, guys. All the freebie, the stuff's there. But seriously, if you want all that in depth analysis there, and you know, like have your own chart requests and whatever. North Star Charts and myself there, Kevin Wadsworth, we have northstarbatcharts.com. It's a paid website, but you know, we got to manage our time. So that's where you could find all the in-depth analysis. They're all there.
Fantastic, Patrick. I'll put all of this in the show notes here. Gentlemen and a master technician, I do appreciate your time so much.
Thank you. Don't put master. I don't think I'm still learning every day.
You're very humble. You're very humble. So I just want to thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, man.